You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. There's an important conference coming to Oklahoma September 17th through 19th called Clarity Conference, which will focus on what the Bible really teaches about homosexuality. It will feature musical artist Dennis Jernigan, Stephen Black. It will also feature Joe Dallas, who is an author and serves as executive director and founder of Genesis Biblical Counseling. And Joe joins us in this edition of Messenger Insight. Howdy, Joe.
Hey, Brian.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast today and for your time in Oklahoma next month. You have had a real impact, a cultural impact for the gospel for Jesus Christ. You frequently appear in media sources talking on this topic. But to begin, I thought it'd be important for everyone to be sure they knew your story and how God called you and equipped you. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Oh, glad to, Brian. The subject sure isn't just academic or professional to me. It's deeply personal. I was involved in homosexuality from the time I was a boy. Unfortunately, I was routinely molested as a very young boy, which is certainly not to say I think all homosexuals have either been molested or do molest people, but in my case, those early experiences set me up for a tremendous amount of confusion later in life. And then as a teenager, I was promiscuous with both sexes until I was born again in 1971. Now, when I was first converted, I made the mistake many people do. I assumed that becoming a Christian would eliminate all of my wayward sexual desires. I thought that if I was really a new creature in Christ, I would no longer have temptations. And instead of taking Paul seriously when he said in Galatians that the flesh struggles against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, I kept waiting for a complete evaporation of any homosexual temptations. And when that didn't happen after a few years, I decided, forget it, I'm just going to give in. This is who I am, this is the way I feel, and I am tired of fighting it. And so I attempted over the next 6 years to convince myself that homosexuality and Christianity could be compatible. In fact, I did join up with a local pro-gay congregation in Southern California and eventually served on staff with them. So I was very active, both as a staff member and a gay activist, in promoting the idea that our understanding of the Bible needed to be revised, that God did not condemn homosexuality, and that it was entirely possible to be both openly gay and openly Christian, and that the two could be harmonious. And God very graciously, in early 1984, convicted me relentlessly, and I had to reach a point where I realized and admitted that I had been basically reading my own desires into the Bible rather than submitting my desires to the Scripture and to God's principles. And that was the beginning of my repentance. It would be just a few years later that I found I had met and fallen in love with a young woman. We married right around the same time I realized that there were many other people within the church dealing with a struggle similar to my own, whether with homosexuality or with pornography or other forms of lust. And that is when I began my work with Genesis Biblical Counseling. And I've had the honor over the past 28 years of working with a number of men and women who've got stories similar to mine. And believe me, Brian, if every member of the body of Christ who had a private sexual struggle were to turn green tomorrow, the church would go into shock. This is unfortunately a very, very common story.
Thank you for sharing that testimony of how God saved you and sanctified you and is to this day. You know, you've written a number of works to give practical advice, not just diagnose the problem, but one I recall specifically, The Game Plan, the Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity.
Yes.
And something that inspires me, Joe, is that you lead us to believe that it is attainable, that yes, sexual temptation is going to be with us, but with the power of God and discipline, that we can experience some victory in our lives. Now, you'll come to this conference, and the theme is what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. And I thought we could spend just a minute, since you so intensely experienced this and the truth of God's Word, what are some of those truths you would want to highlight and that people will hear about if they come to this event?
Yes, there's a tremendous amount of confusion today over what the Scripture does or does not say about homosexuality. And Brian, it's a confusion that should not exist. The Scriptures in both Testaments are very clear, not only on the issue of homosexuality, but on what God intended the marital union to be. We see a testimony from Genesis through Revelation that God created humanity, male and female, that the female and male union exemplifies God's image, and that the woman was created in response to man's deepest needs, emotionally, sexually, holistically. And we see a consistent praise in Scripture for that male-female monogamous union. And the highest honor afforded it, in my opinion, is the fact that in both Testaments it is also used as a type of God's relationship with his people. So to me it seems crystal clear that anything falling short of that falls short of God's will. But we are in a time of two things that are very unfortunate for the church. We're in a time of tremendous error, and we're in a time of widespread biblical ignorance. And I'm convinced that if we did not have the problem of biblical ignorance, we would not be so subject to error. But to put it plainly, I think a large percentage of believers simply don't read their Bibles, study them, apply themselves to knowing the Word. And as a result, the church is not immune, as she should be, to different misinterpretations of Scripture and different doctrinal errors and even heresies. And one of those errors is the error of what I would call pro-gay theology. That's an attempt to revise the Scripture to legitimize homosexuality from a biblical perspective. And so at this conference, we'll be talking about not only the error, but more importantly, how to counter it and how to live out the truth. Because more than ever, I think we are in need not only of clarity of doctrine, but we're in serious need of integrity, personal integrity, living out the standards we promote. I don't think I need to go into any detail in simply saying that we have had one public scandal after another involving Christians who have been engaging in a private compromise while publicly professing something else. And as a result, the Christian position, even the biblical worldview, has lost a tremendous amount of credibility with the culture. We'd like to see that corrected, and that's one primary reason we're doing this conference.
The conference is September 17th through 19th here in Oklahoma City at Cherokee Hills Baptist. You can sign up even now at ccok.tv. Not only will Joe Dallas be there bringing a strong word, but again, Dennis Jernigan with music and testimony, Stephen Black, and others. So I'd encourage everyone listening to check it out and to spread the word, because really this issue touches home. It's no longer about a far-removed issue. The issue of homosexuality has really hit home. I can't think of any families that aren't affected at some level, either someone, a family friend or a family member who's come to say, I'm gay, and embrace this. Joe, just what is it that is so tempting or powerful that is just sweeping away opinion toward this and away from the biblical position? What about it is catching on so quickly?
It is tempting to just say, well, hey, Brian, end times, last days apostasy, and it may be as simple as that. We do know that one of the hallmarks of the end times would be widespread error and widespread embracing of that. I think, too, last days notwithstanding, We have been, on this issue especially, broadly influenced by the world. On the one hand, when I was growing up, now I'm 60 years old, so we're talking about the late 50s, early 60s. When I was growing up, the culture had a particular contempt for homosexuals. And I believe that contempt broadly influenced the church. And so within the church, there was sadly a lot of worldly contempt for homosexual people. And in that sense, the church was influenced by the world. Now the world has shifted, the culture certainly has shifted in America towards a pro-homosexual position. And yet again, we are being influenced by the world. I believe it was Francis Schaeffer who said, tell me what the world is saying today, and I'll tell you what the church will be saying 7 years from now. I hope he's wrong, but I'm afraid there's enough evidence that he may well have been right about that.
How can we best hold to our convictions and, of course, embody them in the way we live, but maybe make some necessary attitude adjustments so we can, to use Hank Handegraaff's phrase, reach people rather than repel them?
I think we have to begin with ourselves. Peter said the times come, judgment must begin at the house of God. We have to take the log out of our own eye. Where we are broken, we need to admit it. Where we are either prideful or hostile, we need to admit it. We need repentance and the genuine humility that comes with that. We don't need to repent of holding the right position, though. And this is where I fear our desire to have the right attitude is spilling over into an adjustment of pillars that should never be moved. I do think we will need to invite people, especially as we are discipling people in the church, to take seriously their stewardship as sexual beings. A point I want to emphasize at the conference repeatedly is that we have been commissioned with these bodies, which we do not own. Paul made it very clear, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. I will answer to the owner of my body when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ for the way I have stewarded that body. What we are hoping to promote at this conference, then, is good stewardship, and I think that's a theme that needs to be aggressively promoted in the church today.
We're talking to Joe Dallas about the Clarity Conference in September, information at ccok.tv. Joe, imagine for a moment someone listening to this struggles with same-sex attraction or knows someone who does. Speak a word into their lives, either from the Scripture or from your experience in counseling, that that they might need to hear.
Well, Paul told the Ephesians that before God, before the world itself was created, God saw and knew us, and those of us who belong to Him, He foreordained us to be holy and without blame before Him in love. And I think that if somebody is struggling with their sexuality, the fact that they're struggling is the proof that they must not be entirely comfortable with it, and that's good. That means that you are open enough to the conviction of God's Spirit to realize something is amiss here. Now you need to take the next step and not just live in the concept of a struggler, but become more of a steward. You need to bring the struggle to the light. You need to be talking openly with someone who can help you to navigate the battle between the flesh and the spirit, take the steps that need to be taken, establish yourself within strong community, and you need to identify yourself primarily not by your struggle, but as a member of the body of Christ who has a function and a purpose, because if you are a member of this body, we need you, and we need you to be functioning as God intended you to. So please take this seriously if this is an issue to you.
Thank you for sharing that. I would encourage everyone to check out Joe's blog, joedallas.com. Joe, how can we pray for you here in Oklahoma and your ministry?
Oh, we certainly need strength. We need protection. We need wisdom. And above everything, we need for our hearts to stay softened before God and right before God, because ultimately we will answer for how we have managed this ministry opportunity he's given us. We want to manage it well.
We will lift you up in prayer. We'll encourage people to register and attend the Clarity Conference, September 17th through 19th at Oklahoma City, CCOK.TV. Joe, you have continued to speak forth even as public opinion moves away from the biblical view, and we want to applaud your courage, and we want to echo your message, including the way, as Russell Moore said, you have conviction and kindness. You stand firm on your principles, but you do so in a kind, gracious manner that is characteristic of Christ himself. So thank you for all you do, for coming on to this broadcast. And again, I would encourage everyone to check out the Clarity Conference, CCOK.TV. We've been talking to Joe Dallas, who is author and is executive director and founder for Genesis Biblical Counseling. Thanks again, Joe.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Lord bless you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.